So I'm sorry to keep you all waiting. This is Nathaniel with the Film Experience, and I'm back with Nick Davis.
I saw your boobs.
Katie Rich.
It came true.
And Joe Reed.
It's work, but it's the best kind of work.
Goodness, you guys make me laugh. So I'm sorry, I was a Jack the Giant Slayer, and spoiler alert, he slays giants.
What?
Many
he
a
saw
giant.
Their boobs.
It was not worth keeping you guys waiting.
Was there a moment in your life when you thought maybe it'll be worth keeping them waiting?
Well, Bryan Singer's a good director. Somebody said that to me earlier. And I was just like, he has not been a good director for a while.
Yeah, it's been a bit.
He lost his mojo somewhere.
He gave me X-Men 2, and I will forever be grateful.
Although sometimes when someone really loses their mojo, does it make you like go back and wonder if they ever had it and you just misinterpreted it?
I don't know. I've seen that movie a lot, and it's still as good every time I see it, I think.
Yeah. Hi, Nick.
Hey. I was trying to think if there's anybody like that. Everything that came to mind were people who I used to think didn't have mojo and then pulled it out, like Charlize.
Oh, Charlize. God. Every time now, all of a sudden, it's these new talents. That dancing was phenomenal.
I've been waiting to see that because, you know, she started as a dancer.
I did not know that. That's the thing.
And so I've been, like, forever hoping she would do something like that, or at least a role that used the dancing, you know.
Yeah.
The Cider House Rules could have absolutely used that.
My favorite thing about those two was that they were good enough that you were like, wow, they're really good. But they were, like, just a notch above or below, like, totally professional, that you could see how much it meant to them to pull it off. Yeah.
Well, I also attributed that to probably a very tight rehearsal schedule.
That sort of made me want to cheer for them even more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As opposed to Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Daniel Radcliffe, who are probably very sweet, but guys...
They were fine. They were better than probably most young, like Ryan Gosling probably wouldn't have done as well.
Oh, never doubt the Gosling.
Oh, sorry. Wow, you guys just met me with like stone cold.
Why are you so defensive? God. You never let anything go, Katie. That's your problem.
No. That's why I found Bin Laden, so you can thank me later.
Classic woman.
You're the motherfucker.
Most people are talking about Seth MacFarlane, and I think that's going to be played out by the time anybody hears this.
Uh-huh.
So I want to know which of the musical performances you enjoyed, or if any.
I thought all the solos were really good. I thought Adele has sounded better, certainly. But even Adele on a day that she has sounded better is still pretty impressive. Shirley Bassey was great.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so impressed that they got her and didn't get somebody else to do that song, somebody more like current, you know, to bring in the kids, and that they let her sing the whole song, and that nobody, like, I kept waiting for like somebody dumb to like stride out,
like Taylor Swift to walk out.
Yes, yeah. Yes, just like ruin it.
Kelly Rowland.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah, she was there, and then. Barbara, I said something on Twitter. Nobody can do that weird talking up until the point where I start singing thing as good as her. And that's totally sincere. I love that about her. And that song, whatever, cheesy, gets me every time. Like, Marvin Hamlisch, that was great.
Yes.
And The Way We Were is gorgeous. And it should be, it kind of is sung at every In Memoriam, and it kind of should be.
Mm-hmm. I love that it sung for that entire movie, The Way We Were. It's like the entire score.
Yeah.
I was amazed that not only that Jennifer Hudson, you know, went out and slayed it on that one song, but I had completely forgotten about Beyonce being in Dreamgirls. Like, completely forgotten. And it was amazing to see those clips and be like, oh my God. You know, but now Beyonce is everywhere. Like, that movie.
It feels like a different Beyonce. It feels like a different.
It does. If that movie came out now, it would be so different. Like, just the whole way it would be perceived. But, and, you know, just seeing Jennifer Hudson, I mean, she was dressed better than she was when she won her Oscar. She looked great. She sang great. And that made me happy.
For a little bit, I was thinking that I was actually watching in reverse order because there are infinite amounts of notes to sing and Jennifer Hudson will find them all. So I feel like she used all the notes and then Catherine Zeta-Jones was left with one.
It became pretty evident that Catherine Zeta-Jones was not mic'd and she was lip syncing, but I can't really blame her for that.
Did you see the thing, though, at the beginning of the show on the red carpet where Kristen Chenoweth asked Catherine Zeta-Jones, what are you looking forward to in the show? Like, what can you not wait to see? And she said her performance.
I know, I saw that. I love that.
And launched into this, like, well, we've only gotten to rehearse it a few times, and I can't say too much about what I'm singing. It's like, I can't imagine what you're doing. I'm assuming it'll be Gangnam Style, but it could be something else. And then she didn't add anything else. Like, that's what she was excited about.
But I love that. Points for honesty, right?
I guess. Yeah.
The thing about that performance, and I sort of thought this about the whole, like, our theme is musicals. Movie musicals are a different thing than live musicals. And they should be. Right. And I don't think it serves movie musicals well to perform those numbers live on a stage. Like, it doesn't show them off in their best light. And that's why I thought it was strange that you had Chicago looking worse than Chicago did, and then Les Mis looking like a, you know, a stage musical rather than the movie that it was.
Yeah,
and
I know that, like, those...
that's the only way to do it, but, like, it just seemed like to spotlight that seemed ill suit.
I don't know. I mean, like, musicals are sung live all the time because they're on stage.
Right,
but if this was a tribute to the movie musical, it did seem very strange for, like, Jennifer Hudson to be standing on a bare stage with a Klieg light that was sort of half on, and it's just a song at that point. Like, the relationship to cinema seemed absent.
Well, I find that often during the Oscars.
Yeah.
But there's usually, like, a burning car or, like... dressed like a crab or something.
They did that for the other performances as well, because Adele, it was just a backdrop.
Yeah.
Although I love that her dress blended into the backdrop, so it was just cool. Like, the entire stage was Adele.
I think Adele, they eventually had that kind of smoky stuff that they had in the opening credits of Adele.
Toward the end. Yeah.
But that stage has never seemed so big and empty as it did when poor Adele was just sort of right in the middle of it and, like, trying to do her best to, like, bring some stagecraft.
But it's like Amy Adams saying to an imaginary fucking mouse, so work it
out. I know. That was awful.
Oh, God.
So there were so many candles in the background. I thought the stage looked really classy, but at one point the boyfriend was like, is this a tribute to the papal conclave?
What if it was?
I don't know how many Catholics there are in Hollywood.
You've offended all of them, wherever they are.
They're probably mostly lapsed, but that's just my guess.
So do you guys want to hear reader questions?
We have reader questions?
Yes, we do.
Already?
Okay, which of the acting winners do we think will be back with a nomination really quick?
Acting winners?
This is from Rob Watson. So that gives you Daniel Day-Lewis, Christoph Waltz, Jennifer Lawrence, and...
Don't insult us, Nathaniel.
Well, Daniel Day-Lewis is taking 5 years off, right?
I think that's his standard issue. Sure. It's time to make us wait.
Yeah.
I don't know that any of them are coming back soon.
Well, Jennifer's got another Bradley Cooper movie coming this year. She's got the Suzanne Beer movie.
Yeah. And isn't she reaching with David O. Russell for something big, too?
She just signed on for two David O. Russell movies. She's in a lot coming this year. But Serena is the one with the Suzanne Beer one. And that seems, I guess it's like she's like a Lady Macbeth type. But I had thought when it seemed like it was Lawrence or Chastain early, mm-hmm. I was thinking that if Jennifer didn't win, then that would be a good, like, well, she's got next year. But now that she has one, I don't know if they'll, you know, if they'll North Country her so quickly.
But are they gonna, like...
or Cold Mountain her instead.
Well, yeah.
Is the way forward with the, like, Bradley-Jennifer age difference just to continue to cast them together so that we just get ground down into understanding?
We just accept that they're supposed to be the same age somehow?
Yeah. That was never a problem for me.
It was a huge problem for me, partially because they brought it up in the movie.
Kind of, but, like...
Yeah, because he has that moment where he stops and he's like, how old are you? Which is a really great question, because she's going on and on about her history.
Yeah.
It's not like I didn't see an age difference, but it wasn't the kind of age difference that, like, freaked me out. He doesn't look... He's still a young-looking, you know, guy, and she's doesn't look like Taylor Swift, you know what I mean? Like, she projects older than she is. and he's still pretty boyish. Like, that, I don't know, that never bothered me.
To the question about the person next, I'm trying to debate whether or not the Anne Hathaway backlash is going to be so intense that we're going to, you know, Renee Zellweger her basically and never see her again, which seems unlikely. Or if it's like she's got her supporting statue and then she's going to come back with a lead one because she's obviously a movie star, and it's weird when giant movie stars win supporting statues sometimes.
I mean, I assumed that Anne would, like Daniel, take a break because, you know, she's going on and on about wanting a baby.
Has she really?
Yeah.
She talks about her husband.
Unless by baby she means Judy Garland biopic, which is possible.
God, that's the worst thing she could possibly do.
Yeah, that would just put her so much more under the knife than she already is.
Like, I would like her to take a good year off, if only for her sake. Just like, I can't read one more person be mean to her. It's just...
Well, she'll recover from it. Kirsten Dunst did, so did Nicole Kidman. It's this, you know, rite of passage the actresses have to go to where everybody decides to hate them for a couple of years.
I think she's in a totally different category than Kirsten Dunst or Nicole Kidman was ever in. Like, the vitriol seems...
I don't know. I remember the Kirsten Dunst things that seemed like people would actually burn her at the stake if they got
a hold
of her.
But that was on such a micro level. She was never as visible as Anne has been.
Oh, you guys... Your memories. Yeah. You've lost your memories.
Is our memories, your biases, something.
Not that she's the only person who's ever come in.
I just think it happens so often. It's just boring to me.
It does. Well, and the fact that it's sort of, it started to happen to Jennifer Lawrence, like, as the show was going on. Like,
oh, my God.
I don't know. I sort of said something yesterday where I was just like, can't wait for the next two actors to get faded and the next two actresses to get, you know, mean shit said about them for 2 weeks. It's some part of it, sort of like a human nature thing, but I do feel like it's so much easier to just be like, "Oh, Christoph Waltz is so lovable," and like, "Oh, Jennifer Lawrence is 22 and getting too much."
The Gavonjane Wallace backlash is going to be brutal.
It's going to be bad, you guys. It's going to be terrible. What is Christoph Waltz doing next?
I don't know. Apparently, he just wins an Oscar every time he thinks about it. So I guess.
Oh, he's playing somebody. He's playing somebody famous. Who is he playing? We know this. I don't know. He has some big part lined up.
I feel like I should know this.
Okay, so we.
Oh, he's playing Gorbachev. He's playing Gorbachev in Reykjavik.
In the ice.
Reykjavik.
A movie called Reykjavik about the summit.
That'll be interesting.
It sells itself.
So here's a question from Sam Brooks: which Oscar win do you think people will forget happened? Which also happens to Oscar wins.
Huh.
People are like, oh yeah, that won that Oscar.
Right.
I kind of already forgot about Quentin Tarantino winning original screenplay for some reason. For some reason, that was the thing in my brain that didn't quite stick. I mean, because he already has one. And
right.
I mean, he's obviously a writer, but, you know, he's such a director and wasn't even nominated as director. Something about that just seems weird to me. But that might just be my Django blind spot.
It seemed a little bit like they just sort of threw their hands up. Like, okay, whatever. Like, or maybe that's because maybe I also have the Django bias and that I don't even think it's even remotely one of his best films.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, like, I think it's fine and everything, but it's just like,
I love this little oasis of people who not worshiping Django Unchained. Like,
yeah, you seem to have taken that pretty hard over the last couple of weeks.
It surprised me where I was just like, why am I reacting so poorly to seeing people like praise this movie? But it was just, it's the only one of those 9 nominated movies that I was just like, oh God, that one. But yeah, I think it was a combination of nobody was touching Zero Dark Thirty. The more they were just sort of content to give that to him in foreign film.
Yeah.
And they do like Quentin Tarantino, like as a person, you know, as a personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I do too, as much as I may rag on him for being the reddest and sweatiest person I've ever seen. Like, his tie was sort of like, his tie was basically undone by like the 7-minute mark.
Nick, you didn't pipe up. Do you think the Django will be forgotten?
I don't know. I mean, it's not one of his strongest screenplays, although I kind of felt like maybe people were voting for the concept of it. Like, it's a pretty gutsy premise. And I've noticed among a lot of people I work with that Amour has had a master problem, that after the movie nuts saw it immediately and it started being available, even to people who like kind of serious adult marketed movies, that I've heard a lot of people come back and just say they thought it was boring. Or... what was the other criticism that I heard? Or just too relentless or whatever. Yeah. Like, it just feels
I heard that a lot.
Sort of crossed over.
It does feel like that's an easy movie to oversell. in that it's best to go into a movie that sort of quiet and reserved without like expecting to be blown away.
Yeah.
I don't know though, even when they were showing the clips on Oscar night, I just was reminded of how forceful I felt that movie was. It doesn't seem like a quiet movie to me.
Yeah.
It felt like a huge slap across my face while I was watching it, but I mean that in a good way.
All of those Best Picture clips were great, I thought, and really, really well chosen.
I just thought it was weird that they made them all, like, they paired them up in threes. Mm-hmm. And it was like, here's the big movies. Here's the movies with stirring action. Like, I couldn't really figure out why they didn't just let them go separately, other than just to save time, I guess. But
I think it's just, it's a lot.
They have to do it to save time now that they have nine.
Yeah.
Here's another question. I love this question from Melody. It's a little hard to... if the panel were to be the focus of a wry cutaway during the ceremony, which moment would we most like to ironically undermine?
So something that's not going manifestly horribly, but something that might look fine, but it's up to us to expose it as terrible?
Yes.
Gosh.
I mean, I actually have one. Oh, go ahead, Nathaniel.
My thing, I enjoyed Ben Affleck's speech up to a point, but then when he started throwing in the stuff about not holding grudges and you can't do it and it's so hard, I was like, wah, wah. It was like if it had been a soundtrack, it would have been that cliche of the needle stopping on
needle
the record.
Scratch.
Because it totally threw me out of the moment. And I'm like, if he is bitching about not getting nominated, I will never have respect for him.
Oh,
again.
See, that's funny. That's the first time I thought that might have been what he was referring to. I think I'm sort of in the what you feel about Catherine Zeta-Jones, where I was like, points for honesty. I thought that was just sort of something referring to fallow leading man, period, and that there was, you know, stuff from there. I guess maybe that might have been about him not getting the director nomination, but it didn't feel like that to me. It felt like he was still sort of talking about that point where he must have really thought his career was...
And, like, nobody could get it. He couldn't get anybody a job, and he couldn't get a job. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was more thrown by the, like, and to my lovely wife, who, like, is working on our hard marriage, which is hard, but she's doing it, not me, but, like, yeah, Iran, lady. Like, that was...
Yeah, Canada.
But at least he felt like he was entering some kind of spiral that he knew he had fucked up and couldn't get out of. But my cutaway would have been, even though we've already talked about him, during the Quentin Tarantino, like, sometimes I would thank people, but, like, I just write such amazing characters that, like, you know, it's just indelible. So, like, I get statues like that. Like, what are
that
you
was
doing?
A really good Quentin Tarantino impression.
Well, I do him at a lot of drag shows here in Chicago. I thought he ended his speech really nicely with the tribute to all the other writers in both categories, but it did not find its note all that successfully at the beginning, I would say.
Mm-hmm. I'm back, by the way. They bumped me off, but I'm back.
Oh.
You may not have even missed me, but I am back.
Nick, did you hear Nick's Quentin impression?
I didn't. No, I missed it.
It was choice. It was great.
I'll have to listen to it when this post.
Later, I'm going to do Quentin talking to Juliette Lewis, and it'll be
yes.
a whole conversation.
Yes.
Nice. I'm going to choose what was a manifestly horrible moment, but I feel like someone needed a real cutaway in the We Saw Your Boobs number just to have it take away that layer of irony and just have the actual reaction. There must have been, like, I imagine Anne Hathaway was in the audience making the nastiest face, and I am on her side.
Yeah,
well,
Helen Hunt trumped her.
Did look pretty sour, actually.
Not happy.
That all that stuff of, you could see everybody behind him with that reverse shot, and it was Helen Hunt, Samuel L. Jackson, Catherine Bigelow, Jessica Chastain, and not a second of smiling from any of them. It was great.
Even Ang Lee's wife, who seems like an adorable pixie of a person, was like, what the fuck? What is this can't be about boobs.
This can't be about boobs.
Itemized rental guide to where to go find these women's boobs. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Katie, I loved your tweet about Seth MacFarlane being invented to keep invented in a lab to keep the women have no sense of humor.
I have been called humorless feminist so many times in the last 24 hours. It just, it's just rolling right off my back right now.
See you at the meetings, Katie.
Here's the thing, though. Like, if any of it had been even a little bit actually funny, I would have at least like had to like laugh and maybe feel bad about it. But like,
well, okay, I laughed at the Kate Winslet punchline.
Yeah, I mean,
I did,
well,
I'll admit.
I think it's I mean. Did. Yeah,
but I think when you lead off your monologue with the joke about Amore being This Is 90, when like everybody has made that joke, everybody, like, it's just, it's so stale at this point. It's just, you can't be expected to defend comedy when the comedy is of that caliber.
Mm-hmm. And that's like, that's kind of the point. I mean, not to dig too much into this, but basically you can make jokes about women showing their boobs or, you know, women not letting things go or whatever else. If there's just something original in there or that even feels relevant to like these movies in particular, but
yeah.
It wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. And here's a question from Brian. Now that Michael Haneke has been nominated, what are the chances he'll become a regular contender?
I guess
it's been nice seeing you at the Oscars, Michael Haneke. Kind of what I think about that.
Well, I do think it's an interesting question in the broader sense of, you know, there really hasn't, has there been a foreign director who's had multiple nominations since, like, the halcyon days of Fellini and Bergman?
He reads to me like an Adam Egoyan that it's amazing that that even happened. And I feel like soon enough it will feel the same.
Although if his movies are becoming more emotional or at least, you know, less deliberately brutal to the audience, it depends on what he does next, I think.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I kept hoping that thing in the broader sense would happen with Almodovar, and I thought it was possible, but even that didn't happen.
No. Yeah.
I have a feeling that spending all this time at award shows among this particular set of Hollywood people is just going to send him back to Austria with all sorts of ammunition for his next Contempt for the Audience movie. Like, it's just going to be angrier than ever.
Funny games set in the Academy.
Set in the Dolby.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. And this was from Jordan. Oh, what were your favorite reaction shots of the night?
Well, the cast of Silver Linings Playbook, when Reese Witherspoon had to talk about how we learned how to make movies about black people. That was weird. That was terrible. Both terrible writing and a completely ridiculous reaction shot. Like, what was that?
I didn't notice this during the telecast, but someone pointed out that when they are announcing Best Director and they had the shots of all five, I don't know if it was Emmanuel Riva or
it
just
was
another
Emmanuel
old.
Riva.
It was Emmanuel Riva
instead of David O. Russell. That was incredible.
That's the new Ronnie Blakely, Susan Sarandon.
Yeah, and it was the whole time.
I know.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I have no idea how that happened.
Themselves.
I liked all the reaction shots of Kristen Stewart with bruises on her face and having the DTs. Well, the bruises were on her arm, to be fair. Scratch that. But what is happening? Although, may I add, I think I know what is happening.
I think I know what's happening, too. Although, what was happening with Renee Zellweger?
That is a question
general,
that great people have posed for 15 years. But
somebody
she can't read. No. I will not hear otherwise. She was terrified of the envelopes the woman cannot read.
And was Richard Gere trying to call her out on that? Because that was so weird. That
I think he was just annoyed by it. Somebody sort of devil's advocate in one of the articles that I wrote and was just like, I think she just didn't have glasses at the ready and actually couldn't read what was on it. I've seen that moment before, though. In not
from
her, but like
wobbling. I've seen a GIF.
Well, yes,
it was very odd.
Mm.
She's not in good shape.
No,
she's not ready for the Helen Hunt comeback that we allowed Helen Hunt to have. So she needs a good few more years.
That we allowed Helen Hunt to have. Now she goes back in her H&M dress.
Back to the Undying Lands.
My favorite reaction shot, and I know it's going to be like expected, but Nicole Kidman feeling sorry for that.
I know.
Was it the cinematographer?
Visual effects.
Yeah. Oh, it was visual
when
effects.
When they got cut off
right.
by the Jaws music.
That was adorable.
That was my reaction, except minus all the me scowling, because it was just so mean. It was so mean.
Yeah.
To like, these are the people who are getting their, you know, one moment in the sun. This isn't Daniel Day-Lewis, who's up there for the third time, and this isn't Anne Hathaway being a giant movie star. Like, these are the VFX people. Let them talk without... If you're going to play them off, let's at least not laugh at them. How about
right.
that?
Yes. I mean, I'll admit that when the music started, I thought, oh my god, that's really funny, and then I caught myself. Because
yeah, me
I did,
too.
I did think the score was... If you're going to do that, that was a funny thing
it
to
is
use.
Funny.
Yeah.
But then when it got louder and louder, I was like, this is just not right.
Well, and he was talking about the studio, the VFX studio going broke.
Yeah.
And how
contracting
nobody,
out the work, yeah.
It was terrible timing.
Okay, this question is from Rami. Which of the Knights nominees that lost do we think will win soon?
Well, one hopes Jessica Chastain.
Yeah, I think that's a good bet. Knock on wood for Naomi Watts.
I was going to say Naomi Watts.
Well, the next question actually was from BVR, who asked, do we think Naomi Watts is winning soon? And my answer to that one is actually going to be no.
Me too.
I view her, like, and she's not in the same class for me personally, but I view her as the sort of the same type of actor as Annette Bening, Julianne Moore, and all that, where it's just never, they're never the it girl for the Academy. Respect them, but it's not like they get excited about handing them trophies.
Has anybody made the observation that she's secretly Nicole Poison? How the 2 years she's been nominated were two years that Nicole had been getting precursor nominations and then got snaked at the end? 2003 and 2012. I thought of this today and I was like, nobody made that's sort of the kind of arcane fact that I would have expected somebody to make, but like. And they're such good friends, and like nobody would suspect Naomi Watts of foul play at all.
But. Well, hello, maybe it's in reverse too, because the Moulin Rouge Mulholland Drive year.
Popped together.
Eight tethers, but I think we're seeing.
It's like the opposite thing of the Colleen Atwood Sandy Powell thing in costume design.
It's amazing. I'm going to spend the next 11 months really digging into this. I will come up with some answers.
You are Jude Law in Contagion right now. You've got it all figured out.
I actually think that Naomi Watts, because of that Mulholland Drive performance, which displays such internal range within it, seemed for a moment like somebody who's pretty versatile. And I just have to say I've not seen a lot of evidence of the versatility sort of ever since then. Mm-hmm. And I think the Naomi Watts type, to the extent it involves crying while being dirty, and that's what has worked for her twice, is not going like that. And her choice, you know, her project choice selections are really weird. I mean, I don't know how much
that's more the problem.
Her, but
I think the Academy likes her. I would at least think that would give her a shot. But I think it's the project choice thing that sort of snake bites her.
And I think that's tough when you go from being somebody who could get financing for almost anything for a few years to now, like, nobody feels sorry for her or thinks she has a bad career, but nobody thinks of her as being at the top of it either. Like, it's a weird zone to inhabit.
Mm-hmm. She's almost having the kind of career of somebody who's already won. Who's sort of like when I look at Reese Witherspoon and I was just like, you're picking such weird projects, but I guess, like, you've already won, so whatever, it's fine. Mm-hmm. And, like, Naomi Watts has just sort of moved right into picking such weird projects. Although, like, she's in something like Mother and Child, and I think she's really, really fantastic. Like, it's too small to notice. Yeah, exactly.
I think she's in that Emily Watson place of, like, sometimes, like, your star-making performance is just so indelible, you're always competing with it.
That's a really good comparison, actually.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, and that's true of some of the bigger movie stars too, but then they're big movie stars because they can compete with it, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right. I hope that Jessica Chastain gets back there pretty soon. And
yes. I think she will. Like, I think she will, too. I'm confident about, but yeah, I mean, I tend to, just because I've done all the studies on age statistics, I tend to, like, really, really doubt it's going to happen for anybody if it doesn't happen by this point in their career.
Yeah.
In terms of Naomi Watts. But,
And I know this
and
is
that's
sort
why
of...
it's like the Emmanuel Riva thing, when people were saying it was going to happen, that was the one prediction I was absolutely certain about was Jennifer Lawrence.
Well, she better remake Fried Green Tomatoes fast. I hope Joaquin Phoenix gets back soon.
Will he squirm as dramatically as he did in that one shot that they had of him all night?
My reaction shot. My reaction shot to his reaction shot would have been me barfing on the floor. Like, the performance was amazing. And the fact that it got nominated against all the antipathy to what he's about and his big bag of crazy suggests that like, talent will out. And it would just be great to see him in another role that challenging.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I could see Philip Seymour Hoffman winning a second one.
Yeah, He's. Got, really, I feel like he's gonna. I feel like he's gonna be working too. Forever. Like, and he'll honestly, always have something to worth nominating.
And I don't see any indication that they're gonna stop nominating Amy Adams. And I think at some point, like, and I think.
Did you hear she's trying to get Lee Daniels to direct the Janis Joplin movie?
What?
Lee Daniels directing Amy Adams. I think that would be amazing.
Yeah.
In whatever way.
If
whatever scenario transpires, amazing will be the word.
We have to at least see what happens to Universe's fabric of existence when the Butler happens. Like, we may not have a movie industry after that.
I don't know. That seems. I mean, I haven't read much about it, but it seems like a much more tame project than the other things he gets.
I don't know. The casting is anything but tame. I don't know. That sort of is my first indication of, like, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The casting.
Yeah, but that could be Bobby really fast.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
True. Good one, Nick.
We've already jumped into 2014 Oscars. That took no time at all.
I was
sure
already on Sunday
that.
Afternoon. Once they announced that Grace of Monaco went to Weinstein. I was and the race is on, you guys.
See, well, I guess Naomi's out of it.
Well, yeah. but except for Naomi has the Princess Di movie, right?
Isn't that going to HBO or something?
Oh, is it?
I don't know. I might have made that up.
It's actually harder and harder to keep track of these things for me now that cable keeps buying things that were intended to be features.
But she has the Marilyn Monroe movie, too.
Is that getting made?
Apparently.
I always doubt any Marilyn Monroe movie gets made, but then it did happen for Michelle Williams, so who knows?
But I still doubt that that got made, and I saw it.
So there's quite a few variations on the questions from different people about the timing of the season, and that we had such a long time to sit with the nominees after the nominations, and do any of us have any feelings about how that affected things?
Sure, I think Argo was going to win for whether the voting was held in February or January or whatever.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I do too, but I do think Lincoln's fading was partially to blame for the long season. I don't know why I think that, but I do.
This is more like, this isn't even how, like, the votes went, but, like, I did feel like people in my life who aren't normally caught up in movies had seen all of the 9 movies.
Yeah, I agree.
And that was really cool that, like, I thought so many people, I don't know what difference this made to the Academy, if any, although one of my favorite things about it was how many movies got something the other night.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
All of those years the best. And so, but I'm not sure whether to describe that to anything, but I definitely feel like people had time to track down each of these things, and I thought it was cool that so many of them were put back in theaters, so that's where people were seeing them, and
mm-hmm.
So I'm all for that.
I feel like that's more of a factor of just them happening to be popular movies, and I'm always fascinated when these movies like Lincoln and Zero Dark Thirty make a ton of money, and I don't know that we can attribute that to the longer season, but I guess why not? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. But even people like, I just feel like sometimes you have 3 weeks to catch up on a bunch of movies you either have not heard of or whatever, you've already made your choice to not see it. And I had so many friends that were renting Flight and sort of making a point to finally go see Beast of the Southern Wild just to check all their boxes.
Yeah, I heard that a lot too. Mm-hmm.
I certainly wouldn't have been able to actually see every one of them if it hadn't been that long. That got accomplished at the last possible second. So
you are very committed to that. And
can't believe it happened. I was like, that couldn't possibly. And then all of a sudden, somebody sent me a Contiki bootleg, and I was just like, okay, well then I have it.
you totally khaki scouted. You got all the badges.
I didn't
this year, and it's always because I just run out of time. I didn't end up seeing all the documentaries, which was a little bit depressing for me.
They were good. Sugar Man was actually my least favorite of the 5. I thought they were all
I wasn't crazy about that one. I mean, it was definitely, like, I see why people like it, but I was all about How to Survive a Plague.
Kind of my answer that I was pondering to the, like, what win are we going to forget about? Like, I just don't see the lasting power in that. In Searching for Sugar Man.
Oh, right, yeah.
And, like, I'm kind of turning probably too strongly against it since my whole objection is insubstantial. There's nothing to get upset about, but it's the difference between the story, it's kind of telling while leaving out a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
that it seems set up to only tell us certain things, and it only tells us half of those things. But the movie itself, as a piece of movie making, is nothing. Like, how I will walk in animated fashion.
Although I didn't see a ton of like innovation in the Invisible War either, and yet that kind of blew me away. That one,
that movie, it kind of shakes you by the like shakes your shoulders and make you pay attention. And it's not it's not like a Michael Moore behind the camera being like, you should pay attention. I mean, you see these women and like it kind of is self evident how powerful the story is.
Well, I
felt like that was one that if it had got in the sort of winning groove, it would have been winning purely on subject matter, though.
I have not been a fan of Kirby Dick's last few movies, and he really, it's sort of like a Michael Haneke thing, where it's just like, oh wow, you reined in that thing about your personality that comes through in most of your movies that I find irksome. Like, everything that's sort of smug and showboaty about him was not at all evident in Invisible War, and much to that movie's credit.
Here's a left to field one. Do we think that the costume designer nominations might get more adventurous and left to field now that they have their own branch? Which just happened. You know, they just
Did it happen in time for this year's nominations?
It did not. No.
Okay.
As far as I recall, it was after the nominations.
I'm curious about the kind of stuff like
because they're not they're not lumped in with the art directors anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. You know more about costumes than I do. I'm curious about the kind of stuff that you've seen that you think is worthy of a nomination that's more left field that hasn't happened.
I'll say this year in my
own... White is reined in.
In my nominations, like the two costume things that I really enjoyed that I knew had no prayer in hell just because of the types of movies they were in Moonrise Kingdom. But I always kind of think Wes Anderson movies are very good at costumes. And The Paperboy.
Just for that one dress that Nicole Kidman wears.
No, actually, for everything.
No, I know. I just that's when you say Paperboy, that's exactly what comes to mind.
Yeah,
that's what comes to your mind is a dress.
But the entire scene, and then that dress that she is wearing in that scene.
I was gonna say all the best parts of the Paperboy are where there are the parts where clothes are not.
There's less clothing.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a broad range of clothes in that movie, though, and like.
Oh, totally.
And, like, Nicole's outfits, like, 201 are all perfect, I think. And I love the different styles of underwear on the characters. I thought it was really well costumed, that movie. So I am hoping that if the costume designers are alone, we'll get a little more idiosyncratic. But they're not a bad branch for that anyways. They do sometimes, you know.
It's true.
They're certainly not beholden to the 9... best pictures.
I was like pulling really hard for Mirror Mirror. Like, as much as I loved Anna Karenina, everything about it, those costumes in Mirror Mirror were so amazing and weird.
Do we think it's weird that during the In Memoriam, they didn't show the Dracula costumes at all for Aiko Ishioka?
I was so elated that they showed the Cell costumes that I can't share in this. No, I think you're right. Like, that did seem really surprising, but it's like my favorite look she ever put together, said Michael Kors. So, yeah, I was excited.
Okay. Yeah, I knew you would be. I thought of you, Nick, but I just thought, well, that's so weird because she won the Oscar for Dracula.
Yeah.
And then it just didn't even, because they showed costumes from two films.
There were a few Oscar winners where I was sort of waiting for them to draw that arrow to, hey, they won an Oscar. And they didn't quite do that, but I mean...
Yeah, although their montages, I have to say, the James Bond tribute. I've seen better James Bond tributes of people dicking around on YouTube with their iMovie.
I saw one today that was really good.
So, like, I don't you kind of, in this day and age of everybody making their own mixes of everything, don't you kind of have to step up your game if you're going to announce that far in advance that you're doing a big tribute?
Yeah, it definitely felt like an anticlimax.
Especially because everyone thought they were going to reunite all the five Bond or the six Bonds on stage. Like, that would have been fantastic, and nothing even close happened.
No, by which you mean zero Bonds.
Yeah, they didn't even have... I thought, well, then bring out the Bond girls. Do something.
Yeah.
Well, Halle Berry brought them both out. We saw your boobs. I thought it was strange that both with that and the Chicago thing that the tribute seemed so spread into different parts of the show. Like, it was so weird that, I mean, not having Adele and Shirley Bassey going head to head makes a certain kind of sense, although I still think it seems strange. But to be like, you know, trying to gin up all this, like, you remember where you were when Chicago came out, and then an hour later do that again was very weird.
Mm-hmm. I love as much as I like Chicago, but the idea that Chicago's 10th anniversary of winning Best Picture is this event that we're all supposed to remember and treasure is crazy.
It felt very arbitrary.
Well, it was based on, you know, what the producers and what they decided to... I mean, I was kind of a mixed feelings of that, because on the one hand, it was really sort of, like, egregiously self-congratulatory.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I'm always complaining that they don't ever, other than stupid montages, that they don't ever sort of recognize their history.
Right.
So then I kind of had to keep stepping back and go, Nathaniel, you asked for this, so enjoy it, you know.
But so my question about this telecast, which is like an umbrella question about it, was that I felt like all of those... I mean, I know that was a joke that this was like such a gay Oscars and whatever, but it actually felt so concerted in trying to be like the Tonys and not even imitating them as much as like, let's just like go to brass tacks and say that people who are still watching this are show queens, musical fans, like gays who love the Oscars, people who like a big splashy show in whatever way. And it seemed like the telecast kind of was starting to make a decision to not try to reach everybody. Mm-hmm. But then you hire Seth MacFarlane to host that show. Right. Like, that's so strange. And like, in a way that seemed like they thought he was part of that, since he has like a foot in this kind of crooning space or whatever. But it just seemed really unclear whether they were imagining that this is, it's finally time to start niche audiencing the Oscars a little bit, versus making crazy attempts to bust it back out, that then what they would do with things like Bond or MacFarlane, and then we're so tentative about it.
Well, the entire, I mean, MacFarlane as a whole seems so tentative to me from the moment that he stepped out and he's like, these are the jokes I could make, bringing William Shatner in there. Like, it was such a confusing setup for everything that came after that. It seemed very like, I know you didn't want me to host.
Yeah, he had an asterisk on every one of his jokes. It was
Yeah, that bugged me a lot.
Yeah, speaking of self-congratulatory.
Right. I mean, even,
just,
even
like,
that Sound
so
of Music
referencing
bit,
himself so often.
Yeah, even that Sound of Music bit where I thought that was the one good joke. But even that, he goes at the end and he's just like, yeah, that's the joke. And it's just like, yeah, we know. Like, stop it.
we just saw it happen.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Like, it's
and then Christopher Plummer's like, yeah, I still fucking hate that movie.
I know.
Oh, to be 83 and say everything you want.
I wonder what Emmanuel Riva said after the ceremony.
Going back to that thing where they had her reaction shot and the Best Director thing too, it's kind of amazing that they had that shot and yet couldn't manage to find her in the crowd when Jennifer Lawrence said happy birthday to her.
Yes.
Like, weren't we all at least
I'm surprised they didn't show David O. Russell at that.
I know. That would have been extra amazing.
Well, based on the BAFTAs, I'm assuming David O. Russell was in Emmanuel Riva's face going, suck it, Riva.
It was a pleasure to talk Oscar again this season, you guys.
Yes.
And we did it more often. I'm really proud of us.
I know. Yeah. I'm very happy.
We were more consistent.
All right. Thank you. Yeah.
I have Daniel Day-Lewis here. We have a whole range of conversations to have long into the evening. I have to go as well.
Stare deeply into each other's eyes. And
he's so
talk.
Grateful to me, all of him.
Are you sure it's him or is it Meryl Streep playing him?
It's all the men he has been and will ever be. You know, he mentioned. So we've got to go.